And of course, the dad has to come in. I got this one. Yep, it's dead. That's the same way dads dance, by the way, too. Maybe the dad is in charge of grilling. That mom can do the rest of the cooking, but when it comes time to grill, well, that's a job for dad. Ah, raw meat, yes, I got that. Ah, dinner is served. Ah, I am dad. Now, maybe mom's made the rest of the vegetables and the side dishes and everything else, but boy, dad made a good dinner, didn't he? Man, that fire, wow. Maybe dad's in charge of the cars, that he takes care of, you know, oil changes and maintenance, things like that. I know in my family, I don't change my own oil or anything, so Angela just takes it into the shop. That's what we do. I don't do that stereotype, I guess. Maybe in your family, dad is known to come in with greasy hands, like, oh man, now that's a dad. Look how dirty he is. And it smells bad too. That's dad, isn't it? No one ever says, like, man, moms really smell. No, you don't say that. It hurts their feelings. I think for men, it's a matter of pride. Like, yeah, I do. Yeah, I've been working hard. I smell horrible. I need to take 2 showers. Ah. I'm going to use my man soap. Man soap is the same as lady soap. I don't know if you know that. It's the same. They just put 4 men and charge you a buck more. I still buy it. I'm not going to use girl soap. Even on TV, there's a certain way that dads are typically portrayed. Isn't there? That in families, oftentimes the dad's the little bit goofy, maybe a little bit dumb. There's the occasional show where the dad gets to be the straight man and the mom is the funny one, but typically, you know, the dad's a little bit off. That's where the humor comes in, right? Oh, silly dad, he doesn't know what's going on. This is what we think of dads. And so on Father's Day, what do you do for dads? Well, you had to give him something that's dad-related, right? You can't just give the dad something that he wants, like a nap. You say, no, don't worry, you go in there. We won't even go in that room. You can just sleep for an hour and a half. Now, maybe that appeals to people who have kids more than those whose kids are moved out. If your kids are out of the house, you can take a nap whenever you want. Oh, I look forward to that day. But when you have kids, you know, it's go, go, go all the time. And the gifts that you give dads, maybe as a dad you've planned ahead and you started to drop some hints like, hey, do you see this exact tool and no others? It's pretty cool, huh? You heard what I said, this one and no others, just this one. You know, my favorite restaurant is Red Lobster or whatever it happens to be. Wouldn't it be nice to go to just that restaurant and no others? You have to be a little obvious because kids typically, if they're going to give a gift, it's something that they think like, oh, this would be fun to do too. They don't think like, is this really what dad wants? So, no subtle hints. If you're still deciding on where to go to dinner, maybe just let dad drive somewhere with silence in the car. And then wherever you end up, that's where you eat. Good luck with that. But it's Father's Day. And so we're looking at a passage about fathers. We're looking in Colossians chapter 3, taking a break from the book of Acts for this week. Colossians 3, and we're going to be looking at verse 21, but I'm going to read starting a little bit earlier, starting in verse 18. Colossians 3, verse 18. I'm reading from the NIV. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. God's message to fathers. As here Paul is giving instructions to families, he takes a moment to speak of fathers. And this message, although it is set out specifically as a command to fathers, it is a reflection of who God is. It's in the Bible for a reason, not just a handbook for how to have a happy family. But it's in the Bible because God wanted it there. God who calls himself Father. A God that we pray to as our Father in heaven. An image which for some is difficult. And I want to take a moment to acknowledge that, because I know that for some of you here today, your father was not the man you would have wanted him to be. That you faced disappointment growing up. Maybe you did not have a father who was present in your life at all. And calling God Father, well, that's not a word you've used positively very often. Maybe you're a man who's here today, and you know that you, as a father, have not lived up to the expectations that you've put on yourself. That, as a father, you have not done the things you wanted to do. But the promise of Scripture is not that as Christians we will be amazing fathers, or even that our own fathers will be great to us. The promise of Scripture is that there is a Father who takes care of us. There is a Father who exceeds what any man on earth can do. And if you are here today and you are wondering if you have this Father in heaven, Scripture is pretty clear. Not everyone is called a child of God. Not everyone has this Father. But it is a simple thing to become God's child. That God, loving Father, has looked down on this world. He has sent his Son to live a sinless life and to die so that we could be his children. That whatever relationship you may have had with your father, or however you have lived as a father before, the relationship that truly matters is one with our Father in heaven. And you can leave here knowing that you have a Father who holds the world in his hands. This is a message to fathers here on earth, yes, but a reflection of the character of God, our Father. Verse 21, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. It splits up into three fairly easy sections here. The address to fathers, the command, do not embitter your children, and then the result, why we are doing this, or they will become discouraged. I'm actually going to start with the last section there, the reason why, the goal of this command, the goal of this verse, and we'll work our way back towards the beginning of the verse. Or they will become discouraged. Do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. It seems a little obvious, doesn't it? That you could read that type of instruction in just about any book on parenting. In fact, I don't think that there's a parent here today, probably not a parent in 10,000, who would think the goal of parenting is to raise discouraged children. You never see a new father hold the baby in his arms, oh, wow, I really hope I can break this child's spirit. No. As a father, you do not want to discourage your children. And yet, as fathers, we often do. And the commands of the Bible, although they often seem obvious, after all, this is the same God who gave us the 10 obvious commandments. You know, do not kill. I think we could have figured that one out. I don't think that Cain and Abel was just a matter of, well, is this wrong or is this not? Cain hits him with a rock. Hey, what are you doing? Well, I was going to kill you. Why? Why would you do that? No rule against it. What? No person has ever died. Is this even possible? I'm going to find out. You know, it wasn't just, no one said we shouldn't, so how are we supposed to know? God knows that We should not kill, and we could figure that out on our own, and yet Jesus takes that command, a command that all people understand and trust in, whether they're Christians or not, and he twists it and says, do not kill, but do not be the type of person who is filled with anger and wants to kill. Do not be the type of person who only doesn't kill because there's a law against it. Be transformed. Similarly, now we have this command to fathers, do not discourage your children, but it's more than just, well, it agrees with the child psychology of the day that you should raise children who aren't discouraged. It's great when things in the world line up with the teaching of the Bible, but the teaching of the Bible will go beyond the things of this world. And that's true of this passage as well. In its place here, this verse is a command, a purpose that we would not have discouraged children in a Christian way. Discouraged children are ones who face sadness, depression, who are unwilling to venture forth, who are not confident. It says right in the word, not courageous, that they are discouraged. As Christians, as fathers, we are called not to raise discouraged children. And I think, along with this, we should raise children who are the opposite. Not just, well, as long as you don't discourage them, everything's okay. But instead, what kind of child should we raise? I think the opposite of being discouraged includes joy, and it includes confidence. Joy and confidence that we should see grow in our children. Joy and confidence. And I think there is a way in which the world could agree with that. That yes, our children should be self-confident. And yes, they should enjoy life. Isn't that what everyone wants for their kids? But there is a Christian way of looking at this. A way transformed by our knowledge of God and who He is by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because there is a joy in this world that you can seek. But it is a joy which leads to death. A joy which may last for even a lifetime, but which leads to damnation. And if, as parents here, as fathers in the church, we lead our children to that joy, we have failed this passage. If we lead them only to a happiness that is rooted in their GPA, in the amount of money that they make, a joy that is found in sinful desires and passions, we have failed as Christian fathers. Rather, we must have them find a joy that is rooted not in their experiences of this world, but in their experience of the one who has created this world. That God the Father brings them joy, and being in His presence brings a smile to their face. That is the joy that we would find, that when our children are not discouraged, it is because they find joy, whatever their circumstances, in the love of God. Similarly, when our children have confidence, it is not self-confidence that they need. In fact, Scripture is pretty clear that self-confidence should be done away with. That self-confidence should be cut out from our life. Paul sees this when he comes to the point where he believes he is going to die, and he says why that happened to him. Not, well, that's just the way the world works sometimes, but he was brought to the point where he believed he was sentenced to die, so that he would trust not in his own life, not in what he is doing here, but trusting in the one who gives him life for eternity. As Christian fathers, we are called to cut from our child every shred of self-confidence and instead replace it with confidence in God. That our confidence should not come as Christians because we've done the right things, we can take care of ourselves, but our confidence as Christians comes from the fact that there is a Father who loves us and cares for us, whose grasp we cannot escape. That whatever happens here, however we fail here, we can be confident in who we are in Christ. Christian children should look different from the children of the world. Christian children, if they're taking part in sports and they're out for football or basketball or
you know, polo or whatever your kids play. They should be able to play in a way that is different. That they should take joy not just in the good plays, but they should take joy in their mistakes. They should be confident not because they are the best player, but confident whatever happens on the field. Knowing that their confidence comes not from themselves, but from God. Do not discourage your children. We do not want to raise discouraged children. And the command, do not embitter your children. The command tells us how we prevent raising discouraged children. My version says, do not embitter, but that word embitter does not necessarily have a negative connotation. It's used elsewhere in Scripture in a positive sense. You wouldn't say, for instance, well, we embittered the church to give more to God's ministry. You might say, we encouraged, we provoked. You can use provoked, I believe, here. Do not provoke your children, or they will be discouraged. But it can be positive as well. You can provoke someone to good deeds as well. And the command of fathers is not just a passive command. Well, here's what you should avoid doing. Here's what you need to watch out for. It's not, fathers, step back from your children. Avoid, avoid, avoid. Make sure nothing happens to them. But it's an active command to take a role in raising your children. And although it's not spelled out exactly in this verse, we know from the rest of Scripture two main areas that a father can use to prevent their kids from being discouraged. First, a father must love their children. They must love their children. And you see this as an expression of joy as well. I'm sure any father here can tell you times when they loved to be with their children. For me, one thing that stands out is, starting last summer, my daughter, who was two at the time, Becca and I would do nectarine time. I love a good nectarine. And so we'd get bags of nectarines, and when I came home from work, I'd say, all right, it's nectarine time. We'd both grab a nectarine, go out on the porch, and we'd sit and eat the nectarines and talk about our day, which when she was two wasn't very much. Now that she's three, she can do a little bit more, and nectarines were in season again. But we go out there and spend that time together. And how great just to sit with your child, not doing anything but eating a piece of fruit. That's just a fun occasion, just to be with your kid. And I'm sure any father here could tell you about times when they just enjoyed the company of their children. That, oh, here's a great time when I was with my kids. Here's something that was fun, doing just this simple event with my child whom I love. But as fathers, we must love our children not just in the happy and easy times, but love them the way that our Father in heaven loves us. Love them the way that God loves us. A love that is willing to do the hard work as well. A love that is willing to correct a child. A love, as I have already alluded to, that is willing to give some types of discouragement to their child. Discouraging those things that are harmful and dangerous to them. Directing them in the way that they should go. Raising them the way that God would have them live. We must love our children. A love that is willing to correct them when needed. And yet, a correction which is not without reason. A correction that is not just based on as my mood as a man. But a love and a correction that comes from seeking their good. That children should know that the rules don't change depending on if dad is happy or sad or in a bad mood or had a long day at work or wants to go golfing. But that the rules are there to protect them. And at the same time, they must know that there is correction that will come as Father tries to direct their life. Because that is what our Father in heaven does. That He brings us sometimes even to the point of despair because He loves us and wants us to turn back to Him. Wants us to be consumed with that joy and love for Him. Fathers, you must love your children, and you must love God. If you are not the type of man who takes joy in the presence of God, your children will not be the type of people who find joy in God's presence. If you want to raise children who are not discouraged, but are encouraged with joy and confidence in God, then you must be that type of man. If your children see that you are a man who would rather skip church and golf, they will see church as unimportant. If they see you as the type of man who comes to Sunday morning and will praise God until noon, and at 12:01 you become a bitter and angry man, they will see that love of God does not need to change your life. We must love God. We must take joy in His presence. That we serve a risen Lord. We serve a God who created this world, created us in His image, who rejoices in us, who rejoices when one of us comes into His presence, who rejoices when one of us becomes His children because He loves us as His creations. He draws us to Himself. He gives everything, dying on a cross that we may be with Him. We must let that show. It should bring a smile to your face, fathers, Christians. A smile knowing that whatever is happening in this world, I have an eternity with the Father who loves me. I have forever with the man who gave Himself for me. Nothing can touch me. Nothing can get me down. Because my joy and my confidence is rooted in one man, not in me. I'm so happy it's not rooted in me, but rooted in the one who would save me, whatever the cost. Love your children and love God, and let that love show. Let your love of your children show and be a reflection of our Father in Heaven's love for us, and let your love of God show that they know the source of that love. They know that source of that joy. They know the source of that confidence. Do not embitter your children. Do not provoke them to discouragement in their relationship with God. Finally, I want to briefly touch on the beginning of the verse. Fathers. Verse 20 had already said, children, obey your parents in everything. Verse 21 now singles out fathers. There is a distinctive and important role that God would have for fathers. A role that He would have fathers take in the home. God who makes Himself known as our Father lifts fathers up and has a goal for them. Has a reason for them to be. A reflection of Himself in human form. That's not to say that the role of a father can't be done to some degree by others. As children, we have almost no control over what our father does, whether he's there or not, how he behaves. As men, we have control of what we do to our children. We follow the role of Scripture. And as a community of the church, we can stand alongside those who do not have the influence of a godly father. But God's ideal situation, what God wants us to be as a church, as men who are following Him, who are caught up in joy and confidence from who we are in Christ, that we would be fathers that reflect the Heavenly Father. That we will be fathers who raise kids that know God. Fathers, do not embitter your children, lest they become discouraged. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are, for the relationship that we have with You. That the Spirit cries out within us, Abba, Father, that we can call to You as our dad. And Lord, we ask that You would transform the relationships that we have with our fathers here, that we have with our children here. Make us again in Your image. Amen.